Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Going to begin reading with verse 33. Acts chapter 4, verse 33, and we'll read down to the 11th verse of chapter 5. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after, when the wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter said unto her, tell me whether ye have sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in, found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word today, and just guide and lead us through it. It's such a joy to come together as a family. Give us your strength, Father. Give us your wisdom. And again, as we have some family members missing today, we pray for them, we lift them up, and we pray for all that have come, for their spiritual needs and their physical needs, Father, and we need to listen and watch and be praying for each other and helping each other each and every day, Father. Thank you for the day, and thank you for this opportunity to come together and proclaim your word and to say clearly the plan of salvation, that Jesus died on the cross, that each one of us have the opportunity to be saved. He rose again that we may have life, and so please that there not be one person here that rejects that free gift of salvation by and only through your grace. Please speak to all of our hearts now and grow us in your precious word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Just a little bit of review, because there is some misunderstanding, I don't believe, among the fellowship and the believers that we have here, but the world and many people believe that as was taken care of in the early church to fill the needs of all the peoples that were there, and there was great needs, and folks owned possessions, they had houses and they had land, And they, by their own decision, saw a need, and they sold that property, and they brought it to the apostles, and because they knew the apostles would know where the need would be, whether someone had need of a place to live, and so they would help them with the monies to do that. Or maybe it was they had no clothing, or maybe they had no food to eat. And it was because the fellowship, and as we come together, on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday evening, we come together. You know, not only the purpose is for us to come to hear the word and to enjoy the fellowship with each other, but it's also that we can see if there's a need that the family has. And so we should listen and watch and help. Many times it would be just a matter that we could just pray for each other and say, Lord, I don't know what's the problem is there, but I know that there's a need. And so please that you would guide us that we may be an assistance there. We may come to their help, to their aid. And so that's what was taking place here with the church in Jerusalem. And that's the reason that many of these folks, including Barnabas here, the name that was given to him, Barnabas, is the son of prophecy. And then if you look down here in the end of that description here, surname Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. The word consolation means here exhortation, to advise and to warn. And so that's what the Barnabas in the Greek word to entreat, to petition, to be an advocate, and to bring the word of God, to share the word of God. And if we go to Acts chapter 11, verse 22, so just flip a couple of pages here, we're going to see what Barnabas was sent to do. And so Acts chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 22 and 23. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. And then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. So he was a teacher of the word of God. He came to exhort them, to advise them, to warn them, to lift them up and strengthen them. And so when we look at this man named Barnabas, we connect him with Paul, because so many times you hear the name Paul and Barnabas, and so it's a very common statement together. But this Barnabas says that he was of the country of Cyprus, so he was not even a citizen of Jerusalem there. And Cyprus, we know, is a very fertile, very wealthy land, the island of Cyprus. And so it is one of the largest islands out in the sea. And so as he came to Jerusalem, heard the need, whatever he took care of, why, he sold his land and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He felt the need to do that. And again, that is a calling that God gives to us. As we see a need, if there's something we can help with, why, then it's our place to do just that. And it can be connected even with Pastor John Paul in India, or Pastor Luke in Haiti, the church that's down in Missouri. Whatever the Lord can give us and bring us, how can we be of assistance? How can we help? And then also with us here as a family, needs that are here, How can we help and help each other to grow and to be stronger? Now, he was a Levite. He wasn't just a stranger that came to town. He was a Levite, the Scripture tells us. And, of course, we know that the Levites were ones that came and ministered to the temple. And you can see that in Numbers chapter 3, Deuteronomy chapter 12, and 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and chapter 24, if you want to learn of the Levitical priesthood. And so, again, many connections here with this name, Barnabas. But he felt, as a believer in Jesus Christ, it was time to come and sell those possessions. And he brought them out of his heart, as many others followed suit, because the need was very great in the church in Jerusalem at that time. Well, we have somebody here that followed suit, and that was Ananias and Sapphira. They saw what was going on, and they were, it seems as though, close enough that they would see evidence that there was some praise given when Barnabas and others sold their land and brought it. And there was some acknowledgement there. Barnabas and different ones did not do it for the purpose of being patted on the back or praised in some manner. But I'm sure that it took place, because the love that was shared when you bring something and give it to someone that has need, why, the most common thing for them to do is to thank you for it and to acknowledge that you have helped so, and I thank you for that. And with John Paul, your most goodness, you know, his words that he would use. And we don't do it so that he sends us back a note of thanks. We do it because of the love that we have for the ministry and what the needs that are there and the blessings that God has given us. Well, I'm afraid that Ananias and Sapphira have fallen into the wrong group here, the wrong side here, because they also sold their land. And there's nothing wrong with that, to bring the need, but the problem is that they wanted more glory than what was due them. They sold their land. We're not told how much. We are told by down at the third verse that it was a piece of land, because in the first verse we have, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. So, you know, at that point we don't know what it was. Well, we know down in verse 3, it tells at the very end the price of the land. And so we know that there was land sold there, and it was, and they were bringing it, and the second verse, and kept back part of the price. His wife was also being privy or acknowledged to it. They'd thought this out, and here's what they're going to, and they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, if they said, we have sold some land, and here is a portion of that, there would have been nothing wrong with that. It wasn't that any of them had to give all that they had. It was a matter of just, you know, acknowledging that I am giving you half. Or they sold the land and they gave to the church a fourth and they kept three-fourths of it. There was nothing wrong with that. Not one single thing. They did not need to give all that they sold to the church. But they established a lie here. They said, you know, I'm kind of reading between the lines here. This piece of land that we've sold, you know, it was a far distance from here. Nobody knows what we got for it. You know, today, why you piece of land around here sells, why... 2 seconds, 2 minutes before it's sold, you know what it's sold for. It moves, that price moves so fast across the country. You know what so-and-so got for their land or how much it was. But here, they didn't have this going on, and I would imagine that land probably was not real close there, because otherwise others, I believe, would have known what it sold for. But they thought, Nobody knows what we sold this for. You know, we sold it for $1,000. And, you know, did you see how those people looked at Barnabas? Boy, they just lifted him up. They praised him. I think that I don't really want to give it all, but we'll keep a portion of it, and then we'll bring it, and we'll say, and he connived this with his wife, that we're going to say that this is everything. This is all that we sold the land for, and that'll really make us look like we're something, because we're giving all of our possessions away to the church. Oh, that's going to make us look good. Going to make us look great. Well, let's see what took place. And I'm sure most of you know this story and this truth that took place. Verse 2, again, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, she was aware of it, and brought a certain part laid at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, to keep back part of the price of the land? Again, don't misunderstand. It wasn't that they didn't give it all. It's that they led everybody to believe they were giving everything. There's the problem. And we know this has taken place because of the remaining verses that we're going to read. And so that was the question. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Peter didn't say, you've lied to me. Because you see, the birth of the church here and the Spirit of God has blessed this church by indwelling every believer. And so Peter feels like, you're not offending me. You're offending God. That's who you've offended, and you need to know it. And so, look at verse 4 so that you don't question what I'm saying, that it wasn't a problem. While it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not thine own? In other words, you had full possession of it. You could do whatever you wanted to do with this. Why did you have to lie to us about the value of the property and how much you were giving to the church? Why did you have to do that? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? Now, understand here, who is making Peter aware of this? How could he know? He wasn't caught off guard. It wasn't a surprise to him. Somebody didn't come up and whisper in his ear and said, hey, I know what he sold that land for, and that's not all of it. And he's leading you to believe that he's selling it all. The Spirit of God showed him. And I believe the Spirit of God showed him exactly what God was going to do to him too. Because it was no shock to him when the result of this lie comes to light. Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. Again, this is a very young, very early church. God is protecting the church. Because it's not going to be long that the church is going to be full of these liars. And so we need to see that as we look down through these verses of Scripture, the possessions they had, and the same word for possessions here in these verses of Scripture as in verse 1 is the same as the rich young ruler that came and said to the Lord Jesus, you know, and let's just go there because it'll kind of help us to see the same word of the possessions here. And so Matthew, let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 22. That's back up to verse 16 to get the full sight of it. Matthew 19:16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said to him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now those possessions is the same word that we have in verse 1 concerning the possessions that that Ananias and Sapphira have. It's the same, it's a desire to have, to keep. And so as we come through these verses of Scripture, we need to understand that what Ananias and Sapphira have connived to do, they have talked it out at length. It wasn't something that Ananias came forward and said, you know, here's what we're going to do. You know, we look at Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, but just not to turn there, but he says, Consider your ways, lay it deep in the heart, decide after deep deliberation. Well, the problem is that Ananias and Sapphira, they had deep deliberation, but that deep deliberation was to deceive Peter, to deceive the apostles, that they could get this pat on their back. This attempt by Satan to come in to the church and bring a deceiver in, and many deceivers, as we find through the scriptures, sheep and wolves that act like wolves, men of light that are actually darkness. All this is coming into the church, and here comes Ananias and Sapphira. There's a lot of discussion to whether Ananias and Sapphira are saved. I do not believe they were saved. I think they were coming in. I don't think they were saved at all. Now, some do, and I don't disagree with that. But when you look at they're coming in, they have had this discussion amongst themselves, and they're doing it for pride. That's what they're doing it for. Now, many believe that this death that was caused here by God Himself, God's hand to bring down this judgment, was because they were believers and they lied. I question that they were believers. I believe that they were coming into the church as wolves in sheep clothing. Get it right here in a minute. And they were coming to deceive and come in for the praise and everything that was going on at the time. And so, if you disagree with that, that's not a I don't believe a problem. But I believe that they were not saved. And here we find that Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Now that statement right there is where they believe that they were saved, because the Spirit left them, the Holy Spirit that they had. And that is very, very possible. If you look through each one of these verses of Scripture, you can find that the term here is that died but gave up the ghost. I can understand where you stand if you believe that they were saved. Either direction, God did not tolerate this lie. And we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as we're going to read in just a few minutes concerning the Lord's Supper, We have many weak and many sickly among you, and many sleep when they were misusing. They were drunk at the Lord's Supper, and many people paid that the price of even death because of misusing the Lord's Supper. Here they came in and they were misrepresenting themselves. They were bringing a lie in. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And, you know, again, to kind of read between the lines here, we know what Peter did. You know, Peter went out and he said, you know, this man has made a mistake, but he's a good man. And I'm sure that he did a lot of good things. Don't you think that's what Peter did when these young men carried Ananias out? No, I think they did what they should do to a lost person. That's just they buried him. Peter didn't go out there and say any nice words to this man, no matter what he had done in the past. He is guilty. And he died on the spot. They carried him out and they buried him, and there was no word said. And too often today, why we try to soften a death of someone that's lost, that has rejected the gospel openly, and we try to make them seem like it, you know, well, they had a good life. They gave here and they gave there. No, they have wasted their life. Forget them, take them out and bury them. And that's all they need. Take him out and bury him. You know, today, why there's a visitation and there's a big funeral and all the words that are spoken by the preacher over this body that is dead in Christ, died without Christ, and yet we spend time and being even a part of those things. They should just go out, let the dead bury the dead. And there's enough liberal preachers out there that are lost. If they want to go through that nonsense, they can. But we really don't want to or need to have a part of it. It was about the space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter said unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, that's what we sold it for. Yeah, we sold that, you know, for this amount of dollars. Well, that was proof, and of course Peter already knew when he asked the question that she was going to lie to him as well. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, yield up the ghost, and the young man came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these words. Again, there is nothing wrong with not emptying your bank account and selling all your properties and giving it to the church. If that's what you choose to do because the Lord is leading you to do that, then praise the Lord. But if he is not, and you come and give of your tithes and offerings, praise the Lord. The problem is the lie. And the lie that was established, it wasn't that Ananias on the way decided he had this money in his hand and he thought, boy, I can't give it all. I can't. All right, so he snatches part of that, puts it in his pocket, goes on in and says, here, I've sold some land and this is part of it. I had some expenses that I need to take care of. Here's part that I want to give to the church. And Peter would have praised the Lord and they would have praised the Lord together and it would have been finished. But instead of that, it goes much further back than that because they sold the land. And Ananias and Sapphira sat down and they discussed the fact that who's going to know? Who's going to know that we're going to give this much and how much the land sold for. Who's going to know? Nobody's going to know. And if we give it all, oh, look how great it's going to look for us. We're going to puff ourselves up and we're going to be strong and we're going to really be something in this young new church that's established here in Jerusalem. I think that's what we need to do. Let's do that because it'll really make us look good. Nobody's going to know. Nobody. So it's worse than just making a last minute decision to lie. It was connived. They had worked together to lie unto God. And they did. They carried that lie out. And not only the lie was carried out, but so was Ananias and so was Sapphira. They were also carried out and buried. And so please understand that we need to walk each day serving the Lord. And again, we know by 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that there is also those that misuse the Lord's Supper face the same consequences. And so please, let's listen to the Spirit of the Lord. There is another example, and we'll close with that one, and that's in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Does anybody know who that would be speaking of? Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. It's about Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons. They were taught at the time and what to bring into the temple, into the tabernacle, and how to serve the Lord. And they brought in fire that was not of the Lord. And the Lord didn't go to Aaron and say, "Aaron, I got some trouble with your boys. I got some trouble with your boys." He didn't say that at all. The Lord killed him right on the spot. And then you know what he did to Aaron? You read that verse of Scripture. He went to Aaron and he said, "Here's what's done. Don't say a word." And he was still. Aaron, I believe, was not to weep, not to cry, not to have any... God killed him because they were disobedient. And those words are very clear that the Lord spoke to Aaron after the fact. Said, "It's finished. That's it. Go on." But once again, fear came over the people. Don't do it your way. Do it the way God intends for you to do it. And again, it's not at all as earlier here, selling things. You have to sell it all and throw it into one pot and then it's just distributed. No. It's the heart, the man, what they want to give, how they want to help. And that takes care of that. Ananias and Sapphira saw that there was a lot of praise and a lot of acknowledgement and a lot of things like that going on and say, "Hey, we're going to jump into this. We're going to get part of it. But, you know, I just can't give it all. And so we'll just say we did and it'll be fine." And once again, Ananias and Sapphira carried this deed out together, but they were carried out individually as the lie was found out. Some even believe they died of natural causes. They died at the hand of God as Abihu and Nadab did. The hand of God. He killed them right on the spot. We'll begin with verse 12 next week. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all in one accord." And so please that that unity stays, that we listen and hear the word of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and study your precious word. They thought they could lie to Peter and nobody'd be the wiser. But the Spirit of God spoke to Peter. Peter knew the truth. And it doesn't seem like there was the fear came upon the people. But I believe Peter and the apostles were very much aware of what was going to go on. The Lord showed his power and his strength. I'm not going to tolerate the lies and the deception. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us each and every day. Bring those that are lost to Jesus, those that are saved closer to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.